This episode of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger has been brought to you by me, Pinkcaster. Yeah, start the fucking roll call.
We're live!
Watching all the anime! Redcaster! Joe Raven!
Equipment Wielder! Bluecaster, Ishida Zazeel!
Respecting the source material! Greencaster! Zenshi!
Loyal and Loud! Pinkcaster Lightred!
Trauma Inducer! Northcaster! Saga!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet!
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger!
On air!
Otsukare!
Welcome everyone to episode 61 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger!
Ooh!
Yes! Yeah. Episode 61!
We're getting there.
We're gonna get to that one at 101. No, the 100.
The big 100.
Oh, that's not the number I'm aiming for right now. I'm too busy waiting for episode yes.
you may have noticed
for the uninformed that's 69.
You may have noticed that we might sound a bit better because thanks to Greencaster.
Okay, I want
to
give
we got
all
a brand new mic, and that was really generous of him. That's really awesome of you, Paul. Thank you so much, man.
We've replaced the snowball with what I like to call the RoboCop penis.
Even though it's a Yeti.
I know what it's actually called, but I'm looking right at it.
Our fans don't know.
Wait, I have the perfect solution. The robot Yeti penis.
Fair enough.
Can we call it Yeti Adventure?
Guys, I have to ask. Here's a favor. Can we call it Eddie the Mean Old Yeti?
Yes!
Eddie the Mean
the mic
Old
is now,
Yeti!
The mic is now named Eddie.
On a more serious note, I want to start the episode off a little out of the ordinary. I want to announce some real world news that's just.
Real world!
It happened today as far as we're concerned.
Fantastic to hear. On June 26th, 2015, gay marriage was legalized in the States, and it's great news to hear.
All right.
All I can say to that, welcome to the club.
Yeah.
United States, welcome to the club.
We have cake.
Fabulous cake.
All right, guys. We multicolored spectrum group of
I know, right?
Men in a room.
Wearing spandex.
The color is north!
Gray and white, and bottom of a black trim.
Fuck it, we call him yellow and we're a proper Sentai.
Oh!
Fair!
Actually, I want to say though, just in terms of even relating to our show, I'm sure David Yost is really happy right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. But the funny thing, and you and I were talking about this, Raven, earlier, is the best part of gay marriage being legal in America now is all the people who are like, oh, fuck this,
I'm moving to Canada!
Spoilers, gay marriage has been legal in Canada for almost exactly 10 years!
Yeah, I know, right?
To 3 days away from 10 years!
I know, right?
All right.
I just want to say again, it's great news to hear that's happening down there. You know, just, you know, happy wishes to everyone down there who's finally heard this great
message. They'll have a gay old time!
Shut up, Peachy.
What?
You actually just threw Pepsi at me!
Right in the first!
I didn't.
Irony!
I've been bukkakeed on the air!
So
funny. I didn't think there was anything in that can.
When you picked it up, you didn't realize.
I kind of went, yeah.
So,
Jesus!
Single cocaine!
Okay.
So, from all of us here at Radio Sentai Cast Ranger, have yourselves a fabulous day.
A fab-trabulous day.
Happy Pride. If you're gay, go bone. If you're gay, go get married. If you feel you're ready, bone first.
It's always fun to bone first.
Because quite frankly, just
marriage. I'm saving it till after we bone.
This is a time for discarding outdated dogmatic bullshit. Bone, get married, have fun, have the same problems as the rest of us.
And end up miserable like everyone else.
In all honesty though, congratulations to all. It's a great victory for human rights.
But absolutely.
Damn straight.
Absolutely. And now let's talk about multicolored dudes in spandex.
Speaking of multicolored dudes in spandex, apparently the Tokyuja Returns movie is now out. Not subbed yet, but it's out.
That's coming.
So we'll be talking about that hopefully soon.
Well, speaking of guys in suits, who left?
Right, we should mention that. So people may have seen on the Facebook group that Blackcaster is no longer among the main cast.
He revealed his secret identity to someone and therefore lost the protection of the power.
And now he's off at a peace conference.
Yeah.
Yep, he's become an ambassador of Power Rangers.
So we'll probably be seeing him every now and then, but not on the level as we have before.
He's apparently changed his tag to Shadowcaster.
Yeah.
I will be attempting to fill in that spot, but as you know, with me, it comes and goes, so...
We'll probably
North Winds.
We'll most likely not see him again until the Duke Knuckle movie has been subbed.
Yeah, he'll be here for
anything
that.
Anything dying, he will be there.
He will be so okay.
Wherever there is a fruit being sliced, I will be there. Wherever there's a man with grapes riding a horse, I will be there.
Wherever
there is a cross-dressing man running a juice bar, I will be there.
Not a juice bar, it was a cake shop.
Wherever there is badass righteous melons, I will be there.
Accurate.
Yes. Yes.
Moving on. Apparently there was no drive this week because of golf, like we do every year.
Yes.
Cue oodles and oodles of type golf fan art, please.
Everybody, bowling is my totally a sport, okay?
Yeah.
So
no, I got it. You just take type formula and you Photoshop into a golf cart.
Didn't we say this already?
Maybe.
Probably. We say this every year whenever golf cancels our toku.
Yeah, like last year I shooped up
a golf ball seed.
Oh, God.
Speaking of type formula, so supposedly they released more details about the figure art for type formula, and apparently it comes with stickers. You have to apply yourself to the figure,
So you get to
horrible.
Decide. No, I think it'd be fun because...
So you get to build it like a Gundam model then.
You get to place the branding everywhere.
No, but those OCD perfectionists, if they fuck up one of those stickers, they will be total sour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I actually want to see what it looks like without the stickers.
A picture of it without
at
the
same time, they can do it themselves. They don't have to worry about somebody else fucking it up ahead of time.
Fair. Yeah,
it also fluctuates the worth of each individual thing if they ever did become rare or did become valuable. A better stickered model would be considered to be more desirable.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, but I'm not going to get it. So
obviously.
Stickers are a very persnickety subject amongst... I don't know why I use that word.
I was like, that's a word
I've never used that a day in my life.
Oh, yeah. Since this is related to my color, apparently Amy Jo Johnson, also known as the Pink Mighty Morphin Power Ranger, got her Canadian citizenship.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, so she is now a Canadian citizen.
Well, yeah, she was on that show, Flashpoint.
Yeah, which
was filmed completely here in
Toronto. Took place in Toronto. That is such a weird thing to see an actual cop show, like, at the fucking Sky Dome.
Well, one of my favorite shows of all time is Street Legal. It's a show from the 80s, and that is an entire show about a law firm in Toronto.
Okay, I gotta say something. I once saw a commercial for Flashpoint where it was, like, the captain of the team, like, introducing every member of his team. This is... I don't watch the show. This is Harold da-da-da. He's our da-da-da. And it went on and on. It got to... And this is Amy Jo Hart. You know, she's great. She's our Power Ranger. Like,
what?
He said she's our Power Ranger.
He actually said that.
Yes!
That's amazing.
I gotta, like, see if I can find that commercial. That was great.
That's awesome. Okay. Yeah, congratulations to you to getting your Canadian
citizenship. Welcome to Canada.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
And here I'm hoping... And right now I'm just hoping that wasn't in response to the gay marriage thing.
Oh my god!
As we were saying.
And, Amy Jo... For any inconvenience you may suffer while here in Canada, we are a kind people, but sometimes we do fuck up. We're only human. We're very sorry.
We're very sorry.
Very sorry.
I called you Amy Jo Hart a minute ago. That's how sorry I am.
Yeah, I noticed.
I could just see her, like, eating her first poutine, and she's just like, gotta love it.
Why
love
it?
It took me that half a second to realize.
I know, right?
I noticed right away.
All of us, like the three of us over here, were just like,
"Oh, Paul."
Oh yeah, I know. That's that.
I think you broke Paul.
I broke Paul.
You broke the Zenshin.
He's the Zenshin.
Oh God. Hey, if you're ever in the area, come on the show.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be amazing.
While she dressed up in a pink Power Ranger costume and played a guitar downtown in Dundas Square.
Yeah, that won't be creepy at all. She, like, comes up. It's just a small, sweaty room. This is where we do our podcast.
You want to sit down?
I'm the pink ranger of the group.
You're wearing your underwear like you are now.
Just in my pink ranger shirt? Hi.
Lane, I just like...
Did you need to publicize the fact that our pink caster is not wearing
pants? Yes, I do need to publicize the fact that there is only a thin layer of cloth separating me and him right now.
Woo! I would take off my pants as a form of solidarity, but I'm wearing bikini briefs.
Settle, honestly, stop getting so testy.
Honestly,
So testy.
Fine. We'll take our shirts off.
There we go.
Everyone's unbuttoning, I guess. Yeah, I'm already in shorts. Fuck you guys.
Shorts, not under... anyway.
This is not new.
Lane, I love you.
This is not new. This is an ongoing trend.
You've been delegated to footrest.
Nope. Nope.
Footrest.
Anyway, any other news? What other news we got?
One of the biggest news for me personally today was the fact that, I don't know when it happened, but Kamen Rider Storm Heroes, the Android iOS game we mentioned some time ago, is actually out, at least on Android. I don't know if it's out on iOS yet, because...
I looked, and it doesn't seem
you're
to
not going
to
see it on the Canadian store, that's the thing. You'd have to have you'd have to have a Japanese iTunes account, and I have one, but I can't fucking remember the password to it.
And yeah, Ichi let me look at it like not too long ago.
This fucker just like deleted half my team and sacked them to power up Excel. You're lucky you didn't take out any of my party members.
Yay, Excel is strongest right
so
now.
So far I managed to get a Kamen Rider Mage, the blue and green forms, Baron, double Cyclone Trigger, and a couple of others. Even that you get, like, mooks and villains and stuff.
From what I saw, it looked cool.
Yeah, it's basically... If you've played Battleheart on the mobile or any game like that where you have to drag your heroes to the enemies they fight, it's pretty much that with Rider. And the cool thing is you can switch them out with your sub-teams at any time.
Does it have all the proper sound effects and stuff?
The only time I've been playing is with the sound low, because we've been watching episodes and stuff, so I can't say for sure.
Oh,
but
way to pay attention.
I was watching.
Oh, I know you were. I heard. We'll get to that.
Speaking of Ryder, just to remind everyone that unfortunately, because of a bunch of sticks and balls, there will be no fast cars and cops chasing down robots.
So instead, we did a show appreciation day.
This was my first, and God did I have fun.
Oh yeah, they're all pretty much like this.
We busted his fucking Showa cherry, and it was amazing.
What is it?
And we did it with X.
You'll see what that means.
With triple X.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, my innocence!
There were three X's in that.
I'm gonna show him black next.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds way dirtier.
Show him
I gave
black
him X.
Dick.
Now I'm gonna show him black. Giggity.
The biggest, blackest rider.
Oh!
Alright, there were a couple of other news stories I wanted to mention briefly. There is a rumor about the head writer and debut date of Kamen Rider Ghost. The writer is rumored to be Sho Aikawa, who was previously the writer for the second half of Kamen Rider Blade, the first half of Decade, and the 2003 Full Metal Alchemist anime.
So the less good one.
So why am I looking at Akiva Rider?
Well, this article in question used a fan art version of Kiva.
Kiva.
Like, some sort of skeleton form.
Kamen Rider Ghost is the joke here. Yeah.
Is that a coffin?
Yes. Yeah. I guess that means Kivan is dead.
Okay, I'm calling it now. The belt's either going to be a coffin or a fucking tombstone.
Kamen Rider Kiva takes place in the Dragon Warrior universe.
Oh, there you go.
Because coffin.
Yeah.
I was just
going to
say...
died.
On this particular fan art, go back to the head, the mask. Doesn't the skull piece look like Grimm from the Grimm Adventures of Billy and Mandy?
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, it looks like Crypt Keeper.
With, like, Deathwing's jaw.
It looks like Crypt Keeper.
So, anyways,
apparently there's some more info on the Kamen Rider Duke Gaiden. So apparently there's mention of an incident of Ryoma hospitalized due to an enemy attack related to Lockseed development.
Oh,
and
yeah?
Then there's also going to be an expanding on the origin of Takatoru and Ryoma's relationship. So, like, how they became, like, buddies. And also, here's a picture of Ryoma without his fancy haircut.
No!
What?
Here's the fancy haircut.
No, it's horrible!
Good thing the people at home can't see this.
Really, guys,
avert your eyes from this audio file.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, I'm going to link this episode to a friend of mine, put a picture of that in the thing. Lucas, you need to look at this picture. You're in a Kamen Rider movie, buddy.
just send that to Paul so we can send it to him. Speaking of the Duke Knuckle Gaiden, we also got a bit of story about the knuckle part of it. apparently the Knuckle part takes place after the series because we got an image of the Team Neo Baron logo.
Neo Baron? That sounds amazing!
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
It even says since 2015 in it, just like the old Baron logo had a different year.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so that's good. So we know that the Ryoma part, the Duke part, is probably going to be a prequel, and the Knuckle part will be an epilogue.
That's awesome!
And another bit of news. I'm not sure if we talked about this last week.
The TX Lemon Lobster.
We did. I think we mentioned that.
Yeah. No, but we didn't see an image of
it. We actually got images of the Kamen Rider Duke plate for the Sengoku Driver and the Lemon Lockseed.
Which is just the Kiwi repaint.
It's a shitty Kiwi recolor.
But the plate looks good.
Yeah, the Duke plate is great, and that's what I'm getting it for. I will withhold judgment on the Lemon Lockseed until we see what its actual form looks like. Something I wanted to mention. Apparently, it's Lockseed number 99, which is an interesting bit, considering one of the earlier ones.
Well, Ryoma's fucking all about that shit. He just does whatever he wants.
Whatever, I do what I want.
Yeah, anyway.
Whatever I do,
We got some more shots of the power-up mech and power-up for Ninja, DX Lion Hao and the Shobu Shozetsu Changer. There's this nice little shot of... So you know how Shinobi Maru sits in Shurikenjin like a throne?
Jesus Christ.
So Shurikenjin sits in the new mech like a throne.
Oh god, okay, cue the... Zordception.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Grinlog
Zordception!
So that's what the Zord looks like by itself, and then it opens up to let Shurikenjin sit in it.
Jesus Christ.
Go down. Voltron.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Is Bison King's feet as the guns or something go up?
Yeah.
Oh my god, those are Bison King's feet.
It's totally right.
Wow.
Sup, dog? Shit. I heard you like Zords. Well, I put a Megazord in your Megazord so that you can fight a monster while you fight a monster.
So they go from wheels to feet to fists to guns.
Pretty much.
This is the weirdest porno
and then
ever.
This is the Chozetsu changer, which apparently attaches to the Ichibanto like a shuriken.
Cool
stuff.
Big.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's cool.
Looks like a Pyroar.
Yeah, kind of.
I see a Star Ninja vinyl right there.
Yeah.
That's awesome. God damn it.
Moving on, there was a bit more news about the Dekaranger 10 years later special.
So, it's called that because it's literally been fucking 10 years since Dekaranger, right?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
Even though the show is set way in the future.
Well, yeah, but...
Are we at the
well,
year?
That's, isn't that
year
what
yet?
SPD was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
sorry, mental tick. SPD emergency. I have to do that every time.
Yeah, totally. But apparently, through some spy shots, we got confirmation that the Deca Red gets a form called Fire Squad, which is apparently only seen in the Magiranger vs. Dekaranger movie, according to what I've read.
Can you zoom in on the top picture?
But it looks like some weird recolor of a SWAT mode, but it's apparently different enough.
That sounds awesome.
Just go to the blue.
That's Omega Red.
Yeah. Okay. There. Yeah.
That's the Omega Ranger. Or take a break in that version.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'll be interesting. And
oh God.
There's some shot. We were looking at some shots of the type form of the figure,
which we've already mentioned. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard. What's your opinion on type form, Yoso?
Like on what do you mean? Like the aesthetic
appearance. Yeah.
Is a little loud. Look, it's a fucking Formula One car sticking out of his neck.
Oh, there you go. There it is without all the stickers.
Yeah. I understand what they're doing, but at the same time, it was my same problem. Remember we were talking way back about the Battleizers? Mm-hmm. Like, my least favorite. I don't like when it just looks like they say, put everything onto it.
You know what I think of it now? Factually, I believe it's less bulky than Forze Magnet States, but it somehow looks like it is more bulky than Forze
Magnet
States.
Because
it's got
boobs.
It does. It's got
big old boobies.
It's got big old boobs.
It's got tickle
boobs. Well, the joke is that that's like the whole Formula car, and then his head is like in the driver's seat of the Formula car.
But at the same time, like I said, I've been very vocal about how I just, like, the designs are just, they're just one thing off from being great for me, and unfortunately
for me, it was always the helmet.
See, no, the helmet I can deal with is, it's really, there's too much on the chest.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing. But they did that so that if you look at it from top view with his arms out, it literally looks just like a tiny little Formula Racer. Like, there, it's in the magazine skins.
I believe you.
You can kind of see it here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play it, but apparently some duck mascots did the Ninja ending dance.
Jesus, I had a fucking don't hug me, I'm scared right now flashback.
Can we just
thank
do a
you
cut?
All.
Can I just see that for a minute? Can
okay, we're going to watch it and come back to you.
Welcome back.
So yeah, we watched that. It was a bunch of duck mascots dancing in the Ninja ending.
Good-looking costumes.
Yeah.
Their eyes are fucking LED screens. That was actually really neat.
Yeah, they blinked and everything.
And their mouths were moving.
Yeah.
Apparently these are duck mascots from the Toei Kyoto Studios Park, and it was part of Toei's campaign asking viewers to upload their own version of the dance. And apparently it was to promote a special event that happened June 21st at the Studios Park, where the actual cast performed the dance for an audience.
That's cute.
That is really cute.
Yeah, that's a cute. Yeah. It's a cute song. They're cute mascot. Well, could you imagine all the kids like just loving this shit?
Oh yeah, like everyone dancing along too.
I'm
probably.
Telling you, honestly, like right now, Ninja is probably one of the best Sentai I've ever seen.
We still need to do our own version of the dance.
Unfortunately, yeah. We do.
we need to show you Gokaiger, Paul.
Yeah. No, I've seen Gokaiger. Don't get me wrong. The characters in this are far more enthralling than even Gokaiger. Gokaiger was interesting, don't get me wrong, and it had a really great storyline, and I love the gimmick, but fucking, if there's one thing in this show that makes it for me, and it is not just because I am intensely attracted to this woman, it's Light Red Ranger.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh my god.
Like I said, all those freaking things on Facebook, the custom Sentai team, like who would you put on your custom Sentai? I'd pretty much just have the capsule of Gokaiger, but Pink Ranger's replaced with Kazuma. That's essentially my team.
Yeah.
I'd make her the leader.
Oh, and Akira. Just because
he's awesome. Yeah.
That's my sixth ranger, just because he's fucking awesome.
Just saying right now, like, my position on... I'm sure I've made this clear by now, but I'm just going to reiterate it one more time. I fucking love Ninja's Pink Ranger.
We all love Light Red Ninja.
You idiots! We all love Light Red Ninja!
I love Light Red Ninja.
Right Led Ninja?
Ninjas!
Right Led! Oh my god, she is the most competent of competent people. And I love her.
Yes.
Even in the moments where she seems incompetent, she still pulls the wind out of her ass.
Yes, she's pretending to be incompetent just to bring herself down to the level of the fucking peasants who just don't fucking get it. She's figured out the moral of the story long before you have.
She's
playing dumb so you can have the joy of feeling like you figured it out yourself. You fucking retard.
We won the war, USA, USA.
She's already the last ninja. Why is she still keeping them around?
Oh.
Right? I'm saying costume for last ninja.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Hashtag costume for last ninja.
Last bit of news at the moment. They also announced a specific figure of Gaim coming from a company called Medicom, known for their 12-inch scale collectibles. They have released Gaim for their real action hero Genesis.
Oh yeah,
line.
These ones were like,
so,
this is a 12-inch Kamen Rider Gaim figure with light up eyes.
I know. Okay. I can describe these figures exactly what they are. It's literally they took the suit from the show and made it an action figure.
Like, and it is expensive. That is a toy. Look at this. You look at the pictures of it, you think that's the actual suit. That's a toy. That's a 12-inch toy.
Yeah, that is a foot.
They have made ones of,
it's the size of a fucking Subway sandwich.
It's the size of literally my foot.
They made ones of Kabuto and the Hoppers, I believe.
Okay, how much?
Like,
$300.
Oh, like, $300.
$300 US.
But it's, like,
far too much.
It's show accurate, though.
I don't
know. I know someone who has purchased this.
And how satisfied are they with it?
They haven't got it yet.
Well, that's hardly the fault of the toy.
Yeah. But the light-up eyes are pretty fucking
it's
awesome.
It's a nice touch, but I don't know if I'd spend 300 bones on this.
I mean,
for that price, I could get an actual helmet that lights up.
It is a sexy toy. I'd like to put my dick in it.
If it was Mario.
On the flip side, this is actually nowhere near expensive for figure standards in Japan.
Oh, yeah. I'm completely...
just saying.
Yeah. Anyways... There was probably a bunch more news stories today, but I didn't have time to collect them, so we'll have some more news for you next week.
Jesus Christ, almost 30 minutes of news again.
Oh, yeah. And talking about things that have happened.
Toku's jumping, bro.
All right.
The juice is loose, bro.
Get out.
Elliot, juice is on the loose?
What?
What?
Oh.
Thank you.
God damn it,
I hope the mic picked that
stop
up.
Stop hitting me every time I say something stupid. You know
Lane, stop saying stupid things then.
Lane, remember when we told you being stupid was going to start hurting?
Elliot Moose is on the loose.
Well, I honestly don't know what that
and
is.
And he got hit.
You've never heard of Elliot Moose?
It's an old cartoon
heard
show.
Heard of it. I don't know if I've ever seen it.
We must have a talk later.
Great googly mooglies.
Don't hit Sal!
Not hearing of Elliot Moose. The fuck is wrong.
Elliot,
you
can't have to play with this game, so play all day!
Wait.
I'm revoking your Canadian citizenship. What?
So you hit Lane for singing it, but then you hit Sel for not knowing it?
Yes!
Okay.
Because that's being a reary. That's being unpatriotic.
Right, it was Canadian, wasn't it?
Okay, just wanted to make sure that was clear.
I love Canada. We've been gay marriage for 10 years.
we've been
Elliot Moose.
We've been gay marriage.
For 10 years!
Don't forget it. That's the thing you guys don't realize. In Canada, you get gay marriage, even if you don't want to be gay marriage.
Oh!
And free healthcare! Who in Canada doesn't want to gay marriage except for the conservatives? Politics!
Can we move on to Ninja?
I think we should.
So yeah, since there's no drive, we're going to move right into Ninja.
Judy Cam Sentai!
So this episode starts with the uncle being turned into a tanuki because of reasons.
Because of that Japanese
folklore thing. It was a pretty shitty looking statue, but it was cute.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Star Ninja and Takahara were fighting.
As they do.
It's gotten stale at this point, and good timing for this episode, I think. But the best part is this early scene where they're like really worried about Star Ninja's deadline, and it's really bizarre when you get down and think about the fact that these guys are very, very concerned that he's not going to be able to kill them in time to make his deadline.
Because we both know they just want Takaharu out of the way.
Wouldn't that be amazing if they were just scheming to have Kimchi actually kill Takaharu?
That'd be amazing.
I feel like there just needs to be an episode where Kasumi takes the Aka Ninja Shuriken and just transforms into Aka Ninja.
Oh, fuck yeah.
That'd be great.
And Takahara's just, like, sitting there and he has the Momo Shuriken and he's just like, well, I gotta fight!
You know what
yeah!
Wouldn't it be interesting if one of the girls actually did that with the Star Ninja and, like, they got, like, kind of like the girl cowboy thing going?
Oh, yeah!
And the skirt already, and the shit. Like,
you know
what,
Sarah McLachlan Ranger?
Well, there was
Chicken
Red.
She'd be the Shania Twanger.
I hate you! I hate you!
As a fan of Shania Twain, I am
insulted. I'll
Don't make me throw another Coke can.
A full one.
This time it'll be purposely full.
I'll kill him!
I'll kill him. Kill the boy.
Hurry, I'll be back.
I did it.
Really
kill. Okay, so
my mom just saw her in concert.
Good for her.
I love you, Mom.
Aww, I
Shania Twanger! What the fuck is wrong with you?
Country Sentai!
Not
Shania Twanger!
Not nearly enough.
Shania Twanger's really your back credit card, isn't it?
I'm gonna keep that on the back burner.
I feel like a ninja.
Oh, wow. No, kill him. Yeah, kill him.
That's going on the parody album!
No, it's gotta be I Feel Like a Ranger.
Oh, God.
I'll kill you! I will murder you dead!
You know, this podcast will one day become evidence in a court.
We
will,
haven't
won't it?
Even talked about the episode yet!
We have fun here at Cancer.
Die, Pink! Die!
Okay, guys. That was great. I just love us. Sometimes I love being in this show.
I know, right?
Expect that as a bonus track on her Gaim album, I Feel Like a Ninja.
This episode has been brought to you by the letter murder.
M is for murder.
No, just murder. The letter
murder is for murder.
Just like the kanji.
How do you spell murder?
With a crow.
It's one letter. Murder.
Okay.
Okay, so...
So, we learn in this episode from the conversation between Kinji and Izayoi Kuemon that apparently the true power of the Enshuriken is the power to destroy the world and recreate it.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger does not in any way endorse murder.
Can I just say...
It's the fucking golden fruit again!
Yes, yeah. So I was about to say... Fuck! Kaido would love to have his hands on this thing.
They haven't done it in fucking Sentai yet.
Which in turn, though, was the five elements from the movie The Fifth Element. Let's destroy the world and rebuild it. Well, at least that was Gary Oldman.
That plot itself is amazingly tropey and trite
as
all
shit. Yeah, it's funny that...
But the fact that it happened literally one season after Gaim in the opposite... Like, it's Gokaiger and Dickhead all over again.
There you go.
So what would happen if you combined the Enshuriken and the Golden Fruit? What would that make?
I believe...
Destroy
the
worlds.
Golden Shuriken, and then it would just be the most broken thing in Toku ever?
I believe it would be the equivalent of an unstoppable force meeting an immovable object, or as I like to call it... Will's fist versus Del's afro. That's if you went to my high school, you know that reference.
Which no one probably listened.
I believe it is a case of a shuriken going into an apple.
So you get nice... You get diced up fruit.
Yeah, really.
It's a nice snack.
It's great.
Look for this plot point to no doubt come up in the next Kamen Rider X Super Sentai.
Wouldn't that be something?
Well, no, if they do Gaiman and Ninja, then it would just be Fruit Ninja.
So, I think you should be...
Right?
Wow. 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 Okay.
Play that game at your local theater, kids.
Oh, my
God.
I want to
go home.
How did we not... Wow. I'm going to ignore that one.
Yeah. That's what we said when fucking Guy Michigo Arms was a thing. We were like, Fruit Ninja. Ah.
I know. It's old hat at this point.
Damn it, told me.
I think Cell should be the one to tell us about the yokai this week.
Yes, the yokai this week. I'm loving how they keep bringing up these, like, famous Japanese mythological things. This week it was an umibozu, which, if you don't know, it's basically a big shadow at sea with eyes. Lane, it was in One Piece once. Remember when they went to Skypiea, those big shadows in the sky?
Oh, God,
umibozu. Okay, but here was the interesting thing. In Kaku Ranger, you know, the other ninja one...
Where they also fight yokai.
Yeah, there was another umibozu. Now, here's the cool thing.
Umibozu.
Bozu.
It's bozu.
I said bozu.
You bozo!
I'm an umibozu. Anyway, it had an umibozu as well.
Which was spawned from a rubber life raft.
Yeah, in this one. But I'm talking in Kaku Ranger, that one was used... The footage of that one was Hydro Hog from Alien Rangers. The main villain of the Equation Rangers.
Nice.
That's just a nice little thing I found. It was like, remember this guy? There's a... Hold on.
I remember
Hydro Hog. This fucking thing. Hydro Hog, see?
Oh,
yeah.
This guy.
I don't remember.
He's the other umibozu.
Oh, yeah. I can totally see the resemblance.
The best thing about this yokai, though, is the fact that you see him in water and literally
paddling
he's
himself.
Paddling himself in the water.
First time I saw... Is he paddling himself? Then we get a shot of him, like, just sitting on the water. He is! Yeah.
He's made of a raft!
I remember my reaction when I just saw, like, what's-his-face just in front of the life raft or whatever, and I'm just like, no... Do not tell me you're making a life raft monster. And then I saw it and I was like, okay, that's not bad.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's an
the design is cool.
He's got like the wave shoulders.
Yeah, I was gonna
like,
actually bring that
cool.
up. It, like the waves, and they also kind of look like tentacles a little too.
Yeah,
he's
no,
got like the scuba
cool.
gear in his mouth. I'm loving the monsters. That's something I've noticed has been like unfortunately lacking in most Sentai and Power Rangers. The monsters of the day don't leave lasting impressions, but this season they're just like, all of them are awesome.
Well, oh, yeah. Like I said, my favorite's still the fucking Watch Cat.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
that one's amazing.
Nekomata, yeah.
Yeah,
Nekomata's
so cool. One part of this episode I really enjoyed was when, like, they're trying to figure out a thing to help Star Ninja out. So, like, they all secretly have, like, a letter of challenge.
Yeah.
And then you just, like...
They try and hide
it
from each other for some
reason. But
Yakumo
was the best one because he just walks in and he's like, I'm doing my laundry with my other clothes because they're all dirty. He just hides the letter in, like, behind him or something.
And, and then the stupid ass turns around so they can all see it. Good the, fucking job.
The stupid ass?
Yes.
Okay.
Yakumo
what
is
was the thing
ass.
You said?
We've all got letters.
Oh, yeah, like, they all, like, revealed to each other they've each got letters of challenge, and then the comments Cell and I immediately made, you idiots, we've all got letters!
That's a, if you've been to Ixie or Reveal, you know that's a reference we make all the time.
Yeah.
But this episode was very hard on me because Star Ninja, he literally left. Like,
well, let's address things in order. Another thing that bugged me this...
What the fuck?
Sir,
I'm sorry?
Okay.
Yeah, we don't know.
Okay,
probably
we'll be back again.
The next episode.
Okay.
Nope.
Let the record show that I'm making a swooshing motion over my head.
Nope.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Not even gonna.
But the thing that really bugged me this episode is the fact that, once again, for some reason, Tsumuji busts in with a yokai report instead of the actual... Gamma Gamma Jew going off.
Because the guy made a barrier around the thing when he made it, meaning the guns don't go off.
Oh, yeah. But how, where, who, when, why does these reports come in?
Someone fucking saw something and told them.
He actually made a mention of that, how the Gabba Gabba guns actually do go off.
The Gabba Gabba?
Did I just say that?
Yes.
Wait, no, Gabba
Gabba. They're called
Gabba Gabba.
Just call them the Froggy Frog guns.
The Frog guns. What?
Yeah, Frog
fuck
guns.
Off. The Frog, he actually mentions that though, remember? Like, their gun, those toads can sense our yokai, and so I guess that's why he put a spell out to block them. I don't know.
No, I know why the Gamma Jews didn't go off, but it still really bugs me how he just busts in with these yokai reports.
Well, you know
Gabba
what?
Gabba.
It's Shinken, the Shinkenger's, like, dudes. The Kuros?
Kuroko?
Yeah, they're just there. They're
see, I'd accept that if they'd tell us.
So.
Somebody gave him a goddamn phone call. Come on. Not harsh.
Oh.
Oh, hey, look, a monster. I'm
weren't they supposed
the
to be keeping their identity secret? Mm-hmm. Is this one of those shows?
I guess.
Well, Fuka wanted to, because she was like, I don't want my friends
to I know they're trying to keep the location of the dojo secret.
Because
that's enemies. Important.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so the whole crux of this episode is the fact that the Umibozu can, like, make you see your worst fears.
My immediate thought watching those people walking out to sea was, leap to our doom.
Leave to our
we're going to walk out to sea and drown.
So, yeah. I love one guy like
no,
oh,
no, you're not gonna do that? Oh, okay. So Kenji got stuck in it and he sees his dad and his brother telling him to hide and go to safety so they can
also,
go fight the yokai.
Who are also talking really broken English,
which is awesome.
But it was really apparently they were killed by a werewolf. No,
a dancing werewolf!
No! Not just that, but it kind of reminded me of Geki Violet from Geki Ranger because before
Geki
Violet, he was a werewolf.
I was going to say Zenaku.
I was going to say both of those things. Yeah. Geki Violet and Zenaku.
Oh god, could this be another ninja?
Oh!
That'd be kind of neat.
Yeah!
I always just thought that they ran out of money for that scene, so you just put a guy in a fucking wolf suit.
Just told him dance in the pale moonlight.
Yeah.
What the fuck is with Joker?
No, if he's a yokai, so does that mean he's a Japanese werewolf in America? I don't know, that was my horrible attempt at making American Werewolf in London.
And this is the badumshu you get.
There we go.
The sound effect
Japanese werewolf
itself.
In America.
So,
I want to say this.
Japanese werewolf in America.
There we go. Yeah, the boy loves to sing. Let him sing.
Werewolf no. London, Ontario.
What?
A Canadian werewolf in London, Ontario.
I have not known what anything that's been said in the last 2 minutes has
watch
been.
A movie!
It's a movie about an American werewolf in London!
Okay. You just made the best suggestion ever. A Canadian werewolf in London, Ontario.
Parentheses, Ontario.
Wait. Get on it, Asylum.
Right?
But Lane, actually, I want to say I agree with you. I like that scene, though, where you like... Because it's kind of, you see into his personality
yeah,
a bit more, his
no,
fears.
Yeah, no, Kenji's great.
Yeah, and like, that's, it really does help
I mean,
him.
Like, call him
character.
Dad and stuff. I'm like,
and after all that, like, great stuff we see of him and him confronting his worst fears, we see what Takaharu is afraid of. Peppers.
Green pepper. Bell peppers! Like a fucking kid!
No! And Kasumi's just like,
This is Takaharu's spirit, and they're like, wait, did you just use Takaharu's bait? Yeah. And she's like, yeah, I did.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'm
just because whatever the fuck he fears is going to be fucking easy.
And then they start doing what I've noticed they've been doing a lot recently, and making up really stupid jutsu names to underline the really stupid things they do.
Encouragement, no jutsu.
And then apparently Takaharu overcomes his fear of green
by putting it
in pepper steak.
Which is weird. You ever get the feeling, though, that the writers of this show keep forgetting that they're not supposed to be actual children this time around? Like in Tokyo Jr.
Yeah.
Like, they literally go... Shuriken Ninpo, a little encouragement jutsu. And then they just chant, don't be scared at him until he mans up.
They should have just been like, don't be scared, don't be scared. You just see I forgot her name. Kagura?
Kasumi?
No, fucking the pink Tokuger.
Oh, Kagura, yeah.
Yeah, Kagura. She's just like, oh, what's that?
They face their fears and we get the final showdown. And this episode is noteworthy because who do we get introduced to?
Surfer Maru,
who I called it California.
Oh yeah, they played all kinds of awesome like California beach music.
I like when he becomes a surfer, Shuriken Engine surfer, and it's just like surfer. What shall we?
And then like the Megazord face has like giant shark teeth,
which is awesome.
Yeah,
I like that. This is my favorite. I like how Surfer Maru, if you notice, he has like scuba gear on.
Yeah,
his face. That was.
He's
really
got
nice
the snorkel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this one a lot. They're like this is.
I love the submarine form too.
Oh yeah, they're playing up the gimmick in a good way.
I might actually buy it.
Well, it's like $40, so
yeah.
It's not bad. What I thought was extremely hilarious though is because what's the grandfather's name again?
Ishitaka,
yeah. He comes in, he's just like, well, your deadline's up. He's like, no, today's my last day. Oh, you're on American time still, aren't you?
Still on American
time.
You just
see him literally turn into a statue, crumble, and he's just like, oh.
It was the best thing because, like, I just realized, holy shit, yeah, because, like early this year, I was in China. It's got basically the same thing. It's 12 hours ahead over there. It is so disorienting.
Right?
To be literally... like half a day ahead.
But no, the thing is, this doesn't make sense if you sit down and think about it. Like, no matter what day it is, whether it's day X or day Y, you have a month from this date to finish the deadline. Cue a month later, he should still have the correct day no matter what day he thinks it is.
Well, not actually, because here's the thing. Right now, well, I shouldn't say right now because it would only be midday, but let's say it was like 11, let's say it was like 11, sorry, 12 p.m., here on a Wednesday. It's literally Thursday right now in China.
And keep in mind, he was looking at a calendar. It might have been an American calendar.
No, but the thing is, if you think about it...
The calendar app on his phone was still...
Wait, guys, isn't it possible they just wanted to make a joke?
Yes.
It was still funny. But as far as I've seen...
Fuck him.
Like, yeah, Kenji literally leaves on Surfer Maru, and like, he's going back to America... And next week's episode, we don't see him, and I'm sad.
I'm guessing they're going to let him go for a little bit just so his return is that much better. For a few episodes. They also did this thing where he's holding ribbons, like, of each color. And
I'm
assuming
that's some sort of
that's
got to
be some Japanese
custom.
I guess. It's cute.
That was sad.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Well, that's what I give this episode. In terms of Star Ninja, it actually had some, you know, good moments.
I'm looking forward to the day where the ninjas are in like a really desperate struggle, and then all of a sudden you just hear yeah.
That's probably how they'll do it.
That's
too.
That's cool. Also, we get some more backstory with Kinemon.
Kyuemon,
sorry.
Oh yeah, freaking Ishitaka was like, oh by the way, she used to be my freaking
student. Well, nothing we didn't know already, but he tells
they
it to
didn't
them.
Know.
Yeah, no, yeah. Like in character revelation.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Overall. Good episode.
Yeah. Next week, Yakumo's evil.
Yeah.
Yakumo, no, according to the title, Yakumo falls in love with the yokai.
Which
Yakumo's an idiot.
Either.
Yes!
Okay, no, I'm making a prediction. This is my prediction. It's going to be one of those, the monster isn't actually that bad, but he's the only one that sees it.
That's one possibility. Also, hypnotism.
Except they already did that. With the balloon monster.
And then he turned out to be really fucking evil.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe
so,
like, this
so
one is, like, straight
that,
up.
Or it could be hypnotism of some variety.
That's possible.
Or he's playing the monster for a fucking fool. We don't know.
We don't know. Maybe he's just that stupid.
It is Yakumo, after all.
God, I hope not.
Nothing is not possible.
Especially don't let your dreams be dreams. I'm trying not to make a joke. Do it, you joke.
Do it!
Just do it!
Okay, guys, I'm sorry. Like, at the fucking, what's it called? The Supreme Court? Do we pass this? Shia LaBeouf just runs in. Do it!
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on.
Newsflash! It's the Power Rangers related news. Apparently, there have been sightings of the Terra Charge Megazord from Dino Charge.
Cool.
That actually looks pretty neat. Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, neat.
I'll get it.
I already owned it.
Right, yes.
So cool!
No, I said I already owned it.
I'm sorry.
But anyways, on to show appreciation.
Time for what this episode is really for.
Cool!
Featured topic.
So, this week, because of the lack of drive, we decided to fill the time slot by watching a few episodes of Kamen Rider X.
Because I had that readily available.
And we've been talking about the Starfish Hitler episode for a long time, and we wanted to finally see it.
But there's more. But people, there's more.
There's more to this show than
there's
just Starfish
Hitler. So much
more.
So, Kamen Rider X, it was the third Kamen Rider series, like, ever? It was
there was the main one, then there was V3, and then X.
Aired in 1974. Like, wow. We weren't even quivers in our daddy's sacks at that point.
You really had to bring up the sacks.
Yes, I did. it's a kooky little series that's a lot of fun. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, we know from watching, like, old series like Ichigo and Stronger, we watched a couple episodes of those. So we knew pretty much going in that we were going to expect batshit craziness.
And
batshit
craziness
is what was served upon us.
We watched the first three episodes as well as episode 26.
Yeah, Starfish Hitler was 26. So we watched, 1 to 3 and then 26.
Greatest monster
of the
world. Which was actually a bit of a jarring thing jumping straight from episode 3 to 26.
I really didn't feel the jump.
I felt it to a degree of, I don't know who most of these people are. Oh, hey, look, Tachibana Tobe.
Okay.
I know who he is.
Well, fair.
Well, let's start at the beginning. So, like, how does it start off with our main character? His name's Jin, right?
Jin Keisuke is the main character.
He's our writer.
He's the son of a scientist, and he basically starts out the show arriving in Tokyo from Okinawa, I believe. On a boat that's apparently destroyed.
The first thing we see is a guy in a suit. By the way, this took place in the winter, so this guy had to walk out of the freezing cold water wearing a fucking cotton suit, probably.
Oh, yeah.
And turns into Neptune.
Yeah.
Like a Neptune monster.
You want to, Raven, go over briefly about the scheme of the monsters for this series?
Yeah, the scheme of the monsters for this series, they started out more with gods and mythological creatures, for the most part, is their theme. So we had Neptune, then we had
Pan,
Hercules.
Heracles.
It was Heracles,
the proper way to pronounce
it. So, they're going with the actual Greek name. Okay, cool.
And then Starfish Hitler.
and then the show kind of moved out of that and into more historical figures. Figures crossed with animals.
We'll get to that later.
Did the show have one of the series' famous mid-show direction changes? Is that
happened there?
Okay. What I thought they were
for the better,
do,
for the worse, who knows?
What I thought they were going to do, and this is jumping the gun a little, was that this series was going, the villains at least, or the whole thing, sorry, was going to be aquatic based. Because literally the first villain is Neptune, you know, king of the seas. One of X's powers is that he can survive underwater. Starfish Hitler.
Yeah.
So we see him come out of the water. You know, he transforms into this, for the time. Okay, I'm sorry. No one will get this other than, like, five other people in the world. He looked like Zat, the catfish man. It's a movie.
You're right.
From the same year, actually, mind
you.
You're
absolutely right. I don't get it.
Thanks, serious. You're like, I do know that! I get it only because he showed me a freaking image.
I'm gonna show you guys what this shit. Look.
You wanna spell that name so people can look it up?
Z-A-A-T. This is, honest to God, one of the best bad movies ever. Mystery Science Theater did an episode of it, if you wanna just check that. Look. Where's it? Look at this! That's Neptune!
No, you're right. Yep, absolutely.
I watch weird movies, Lane. Also known as the Blood Waters of Dr. Z.
sounds cool.
Which is funny because there's a Mook voiced by Frankie who also played Dr. Z in Akiba Ranger. It's all connected!
We must go deeper.
Fucking Shuri Kenjin shows up.
Anyway. So we see that, you know, he gets cornered
by a bunch of the Mooks.
By a bunch of the Mooks. They transform into some
beret-wearing, emblem-wielding, gun-toting, caped motherfucking Mooks that are fucking awesome!
For the time, yeah, they actually look pretty good. And the thing that we noticed about this series, in particular, I guess, it's very trigger-happy.
Oh, fuck they yeah.
Got straight-up pistols.
And they used them well.
Yeah. So, you know, they chase him, he ends up in the water, and Neptune's ability is he spits acid foam out of his mouth. I have to outrun the foam!
He literally swims away from the dangerous foam, or starts to, and then there's, like, an abrupt cut to where he's in, like, some hospital already, like, drying off. I'm like, oh, I guess he got away.
I guess that there's a whole scene there we missed.
Yeah, this series does that a lot. Yeah, starts up an action scene, and then... Oh, no, he
got away. I guess,
you know, like,
constraints and such, what can you do?
Sure.
So, then he makes his way to his father's hideout, right?
Yeah.
And it's all dark. Oh, no, wait, he meets a girl.
Yeah, like,
He's an old lover.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Ryoko?
Ryoko.
Yeah.
His old lover slash apparently fiancé from the sound of it.
According to his father.
He goes into his father's, like secret lab. His father attacks him. And this is where we learn that scientists must know karate in this universe.
Yeah,
that's... Yeah, it's like, if you're going to be a scientist, you got to have, like, the skills. And I'm like...
That's a line.
What does karate have to do with being a scientist?
That's not just a scene. That's a line of dialogue.
Where he says, you're going to be a scientist. You must know how to fight. But why?
How many RPGs have you played, sir?
That was one of the most, like, just, like, ham-fisted... scenes of exposition I've ever seen.
Then he tries to make him put on, like, this dorky red bulletproof vest or something that'll protect him, and he's just like...
No, he doesn't explain it at first. He's just like, put this on. And he's like, no, I'll look like a woman, which we didn't understand until we actually saw him wearing it with little bows on it.
For context, it looks like Marty McFly's vest.
Yeah.
And we're just, it's a vest. Is that a girl thing at the time? Like,
was that the
trend
in the
70s? I don't know. But then later, yes, we do see it does in fact have bows on it. And then the best thing ever...
His father goes and shoots him while laughing like a maniac.
Oh, yeah, Ryoka, too. She's just like, ah!
And we're like, where the hell is this going? But as it turns out, they were testing it, the Kevlar.
It's a Kevlar vest.
You know what? That would have been an interesting concept there, because it would have been cool if it's like, oh, the father was working for God the entire time or something. He's like, I'm going to turn my son into a fucking cyborg, cybernetic warrior.
It's like, oh, yes, this vest. God. This vest is incredibly resistant to gunfire, fire, and explosions. Apparently not resistant to acid, because the Mooks fucking melt in it in episode one.
I just want to say, it reminded me of that scene from Kick-Ass where Nicolas Cage shoots his daughter at, like, 10 feet from...
Oh, yeah.
That was great.
But yeah, I like how they describe this vest as resistant to explosions.
Yeah.
How do you...
Seriously think about that!
Like, what is it being resistant to? The shrapnel, the force, the fire? Like, okay, they said fire, but...
All of the above.
Like, his face and legs will be charred to crisp, but his torso will be perfectly intact.
Well, to be fair, these are your vitals here.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Also this, that's completely uncovered.
Yeah, like, he's still vulnerable to fucking headshots.
Which doesn't matter anyway, because the vest got fucking melted in the first episode.
Like, the Mook, later on, just actually, like, holds it up, and you see him pouring acid and melting, and I'm like, wow, these guys are smart.
Yeah, actually, we find out that Mook was Ryoko.
Oh, yeah. Like, turns out Ryoko is evil.
Dun-dun! And then, in, like, a shot a minute later, we see that she has, like, a twin, like, Ryoko's the evil twin, and
what's
she's
her
the
name?
Good twin.
Kiriko.
Kiriko.
And
we
remember
because Drive.
I'm like, hey, look, it's Kiriko.
And, so...
Who the fuck are you? I
40
can't
years
you.
Too early.
So then we get into, like, I guess you could say what pushes the plot forward. The son gets shot?
Yeah, the Mooks actually come up, and because the vest has been melted,
get
they actually
shot
shoot
three
yeah, like,
times in the chest.
Like, some pretty shitty blood effects, but still it's there. Like, whoa!
Like, these are Mooks in Rider who actually straight up shoot the protagonist!
They won!
It's awesome!
And then the father, with his dying breath, turns his son into a fucking cyborg by cutting him open and shoving things in.
He literally, like... as the father is dying.
Yeah.
He is operating on his also dying son.
I was like, is that a good idea?
Like, he's got like a mannequin with machinery in it that he's been practicing
and
on.
And he's just kind of just shoving things into his
I'm
son.
Just like, might as well have just held the mannequin over his son's corpse and just shaked the machinery loose.
I'm like, that's not how surgery works.
But
Does this mean he was originally planning
on turning his son into a
Kamen
Rider?
Maybe he wasn't expecting the bulletproof vest to work, and that was going to be his end.
Or maybe he was going to modify himself. Maybe he was going to modify
someone else.
Maybe
he was going to modify somebody, but it just so happened he did it to save his son.
But because
and transferred his own consciousness into a computer on an island.
Another drive trope.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, we see him, he's now a cyborg. And he's going to the island that has his father's consciousness put into it.
The Jin Station.
Which it is.
It's a submarine base, and it's awesome.
And then the second greatest thing to ever happen this night happened.
Oh my god.
And I say the second, because you'll see.
As the downloaded consciousness of the father is telling Keisuke about his mission to become the rider, and gives him the bike that looks oddly like Forze's Meshigler. He's like, okay, the last thing I need you to do, son, push that C-switch over there.
Okay, Dad, I'll do that.
Push the switch!
Hits the button, and it immediately ejects his father's corpse out into the ocean, and I'm like, oh, burial at sea, burial. And then it explodes!
Best part!
We get the stock footage of, like, I guess a torpedo explosion, just a big geyser of water erupting from the ocean.
And this fucking see-through image of his father laughing.
As his corpse is being exploded!
And it's just like he's almost going, ha! Fucking get over that shit!
It's just like, he had no idea. I'm just picturing him, he had no idea this was what he was about to do to his dad. Just like, okay, button.
What?
Oh, a nice burial, let's see.
Oh my god!
I guess the C stands for crying.
And no, his dad is totally laughing at his son. Ha ha!
Yeah.
You blew me up. That you gotta live with that.
This
it gets way worse next episode.
And then apparently there's the flashback where, like, you see,
as the father's corpse is being jettisoned out to sea, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a flashback of, like, what's his name?
Keisuke?
Yeah, Keisuke. He's, like, a little boy, and he's, like, in his judo karate outfit. He's like, Adasen!
I want to say this.
He picks the kid up and flips
him
over.
What the hell? No, because the scene makes it look like he's going in for an... Like, I mean, maybe that was the joke.
Yeah.
It made it look like, Daddy, the dad picks him up like, aw, wait, what's he doing?
Yeah, the father just judo flips
straight
him.
Up judo flips
and
him into
like,
the dirt.
Like,
he's
on the ground.
Honestly, it looked like he was about to bane him on his knee.
Just,
I was wondering what would break first.
You're mine?
Why are you there?
You must learn work past the pain if you want to be a scientist.
God. I just think about that is like the most dysfunctional family and writer ever.
That's
I don't know,
we've still got a lot of shows to see.
Oh,
yeah.
Actually, while we're on this though, his first transformation, what do you guys think of the transformation and the suit?
Transformation's pretty cool.
I like it.
Cool.
Having seen the suits that preceded it, X is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I still actually kind of prefer like the first two, but X was kind of a neat little way to do it.
Yeah, because he has like the belt or whatever like that, and then on the sides of the belt he has
his
like,
helmet.
Is the helmet and like this little like kind of miniaturized helmet, and then he has like the mouthpiece. And then he literally throws the like the head helmet like piece in front of his face, and then you just see it go like
two pieces.
Just
like
on
double
head.
Style.
Chucks the mouthpiece on.
I like that. Like they mentioned too that he's a very aquatic rider.
Yeah.
So he has like a scuba.
It looks like
system.
He's putting on scuba gear.
Yeah, which I like the transformation for the time. It's got those like cute little effects of like.
I guess that's what
it's the first. I think it's the first stock footage tension.
Yeah,
and I guess that's what inspired like Kamen Rider, like the first and the next, because that's how they kind of did. They had their helmets on and then they put the mouthpiece on.
Probably,
it's a neat transformation. Like it works for the time, honestly, and the suit itself is pretty cool.
Yeah, let's speak about the designs for a bit about X. So
for one thing, you're gonna see that X.
Yeah, they make really prevalent use of the X. The suit design I really like. The one thing I don't like is his weapons.
I love his weapons!
Like, he literally pulls the handle out of his belt like a Beyblade, and then he has it in, like, he calls it a whip, but it's like a fencing foil, and then he calls it a stick when it's a baton. I really don't like those kind of weapons.
Well, you know, just back in the day, they just literally had to work with... It's literally a piece of metal with some plastic on it.
I will admit, the one thing I like about the Rhydal stick is that one trick where he throws it up and then trapezes on it.
Yeah, like in midair, he trapezes to turn himself around.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
That's cool.
I also like what every time, like, sometimes he jumps, he, like, makes his body look like an X, and then you just see, like, a flash of an X on the screen.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
It's cheesy in the right way, where it's just like, it's charming.
Speaking of cheesy, that fake lightning, though.
Oh, yeah, like, in this one episode especially, it's just, like, the same effect.
Cute little crayon effect.
It's just, like, looks like something out of a goddamn Vincent Price movie. It's amazing.
Or, like, a Charlie Brown short.
Yeah. So, the first episode, you know, in the end, he, we should say this, too, for later, help reference this. Neptune talks to, like, an idol of his head.
Yeah,
which
the Nekomane.
God is talking to him, like, the God.
The Supreme Commander.
The evil organization is called God.
Like, G-O-D.
G-O-D.
And, like, their emblem is awesome. You first see it on the Mooks.
It looks like two eyes and a mouth with teeth.
And then you realize it's actually just the letters.
Yeah,
it reminds. Did anyone read, like, a Series of Unfortunate Events?
Yes.
Yep.
VFD, remember?
Yeah.
Like, the eye and the... Yeah. So, we see, like, the voice talks to him, like, and then in a very, like, Inspector Gadget-y way, like, after the idol's done talking to him,
it explodes. This is self-destruct.
Yeah, it explodes, like, the little idol explodes, literally, and there's a tape left behind, and the tape, disappears.
And we're like, I think we're meant to assume the tape is the source of either the connection or, like, a pre-recorded message.
Who knows?
Sort.
But
in the episodes we watched, they did not explain it.
Anyway, so that happens.
But
remember
that consistently explode.
But remember that happened because episode 2 is amazing.
Oh my
You'll
god!
See.
Yeah.
So he defeats the Neptune. Yes, and that's the first episode. It kind of just ends after that.
Yeah. So episode 2.
The best thing ever.
Okay, yeah. can we just talk about the best thing ever?
Okay.
So...
Just, I want to give a brief little thing quickly. Basically, another monster, this time it's like Pan, he's,
Panic.
That was his name, sorry.
Yeah.
He's, doing the flute thing where he's, you know, putting everyone under his control. There's some amazing scenes in this because they blame a little kid.
They, once again, an episode plot that was reused in Drive.
Yeah.
The monster is using his powers to drive the locals of the nearby apartment building into a murderous frenzy.
And, like, they blame a little kid.
Who is playing a flute.
There is
nearby.
A point where the kid straight up, it has a knife on him at his throat.
Several points!
It's amazing.
They chase him, they throw nets on him, they, like, hold what look like actual knives and weapons at him, and Jesus Christ!
He might get hurt, who cares?
One of them had a fucking little mini.
Yeah, like one guy had like a pickaxe. Yeah. It was great.
Like when they woke up, the guy's like, "Why do I have a pickaxe?
What is this? I never owned a pickaxe. Where did I get this?" But other than that, the show is, you know, formula as usual. But then the greatest thing happens ever. I want to say this though. There's a point where the monster in a human form. He's at a market, right?
Yeah.
And we see that the thing talking to him this episode is a chicken. The chicken's, like, walking around, we hear God's voice coming from it, and it's cool. And we're just on
it. That line out of context. We hear God's voice coming out of a chicken.
It's great.
We should just reestablish that so far in these three episodes, the Monster of the Week talks to the G.O.D. commander through some sort of medium. Episode 1, it was a Nekomane statue. Episode 2, it was a
chicken. A live chicken.
Live chicken.
And so we're just like, oh my god, is it going to explode like the statue? People, we were on the edge of our seats.
It didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
And then later on,
we're just like,
episode.
Oh, hey, the chicken's back. And we're just like, okay, the chicken's back. And you just hear me in the back. You think it's going to blow up this time? Blows up!
We died!
It was the... Oh.
It's like, oh my god, they actually did it!
They blew up the chicken!
And it left behind a tape like last time!
I guess the tape was shoved up its ass or something.
I get it. Like, guys, like, no, for real, it was just the best thing ever because we were so, like, Aww, because it didn't blow
up. Well, they didn't blow up the damn chicken.
Just out of nowhere, boom!
Chicken blows up. I think the best part about that is the fact that before it blowed up, it actually, like, walked a few steps.
Yeah.
It took a couple steps and then just boom!
Did the chicken have a say in this?
You gotta wonder how they pulled off that effect.
That was just an
edit. We here at Radio Sentai Cast Ranger do not encourage
chicken
exploding.
No, we don't, but
we do, however, find it hilarious.
Yes. It's fun. Look, we don't say blow up chickens. It's fun as hell to watch them. They didn't actually blow up a chick. I hope.
No,
I hope they didn't.
But
I'm hoping that was just a jump cut.
Just this weird part in the back of my head is like, wouldn't it have been funny if they did?
And then again, we're talking show era where the guy who played Amazon literally had to jump out of the way of an actual fucking train.
There you go.
And
almost
fucking died.
Oh shit!
So. Business as usual this episode. It was just, like I said, formulaic, but a lot of fun. Like, people, like, we had never had so much joy.
Oh, and speaking of joy...
Speaking of shit blowing up...
The other thing that happened this episode... So, Jin, after being discouraged because people call him a robot...
No, it's because, like, he met up with the kid, and he was telling him, oh, I know how you feel, like, my father died or whatever, too, and stuff like that. And then, like, afterwards, the kid literally is like, oh, you lied to me. You're a robot.
You don't have a dad. Robots can't have fathers.
Yeah. So then he goes back to the Jin station, and he's just like,
He whines to his dad.
Father,
am I
a human anymore? And he's literally, no, you're not anymore. I'm sorry, but you are what you are. Well, son,
oh,
I gotta
by the
go
way,
now.
You're being such a whiny little bitch. I realize I made a mistake by putting this station here. So you know what? I'm self-destructing this place. Get the fuck out.
Okay, first of all, I was upset because I love this base. It's so, like, 70s looking, like, with all the blinkies, and it was great.
And, like, there were actually, like, what looked like those magnetic fridge letters that kids
get,
spelling out the name Jin on one wall.
I just love to, like, whenever he left the station, it just was, like, the cutest
little
mod.
Shot of him on his bike getting shit out of the bottom of the sub.
He has to fucking evacuate because his dad's a shithole.
No, it was really heartfelt about it, though, is like, you see him on his bike, then you see him just turn his head, and he's just like, oh.
Yeah, that was the best, because okay. Like, I'm sorry, Jin, you have to leave. Like, he comes out the tube and starts driving away underwater, and we were just like, no, he's not. X looks over,
wouldn't it have been the greatest thing, though, if as the base blew up, we see his dad's face again?
They did it!
They did?
Did they?
No, it wasn't over the station. They literally immediately flash back to the fucking episode one scene with the explosion and his fucking...
Oh, yeah, they did!
Oh, yeah! They literally reused
that fucking
footage.
That shot of him, of his happy face as his corpse explodes.
This is currently the thumbnail you are probably staring at.
Another thing,
there
about,
is no better way of a father disowning his son
than
blowing his corpse up first,
having his son,
and then blowing
corpse.
Up
having
his computer consciousness in his base,
having his push a button that sends his corpse out in a torpedo
and
explodes.
And
that's
then blows.
Amazing.
And then the fucking I backed myself up on the computer. Oh, well, you're being such a whiny little bitch. I'm gonna blow myself up!
Why doesn't Modern Rider do shit like this?
Because it would be too... Oh, the kids would be like,
why?
Why
the writers of X thinking when they thought...
Fucking hell!
No, like, it's episode 2, guys, that his father's just gone! Like, completely! You're on your fucking own! See you later!
The best aspect is just, like, that whole, like... It really puts you into the mindset, though, of, like... Because, okay, let's be honest, an actor that age, or a character that age, sorry, you know, this took place in the 70s, that guy probably was, like, you know, from a time where just, you dishonor the family, that's it.
Yeah.
It is Japan, people.
Yeah.
Oh, something else that we forgot to mention, but the early episodes of this, at least, take place in, like I said, winter, so we just see, what's his name?
Kisuke,
like, wearing, like, weird Christmas sweaters. That's when I point out, it's the return of the evil Christmas sweaters of Michi!
More like the origin.
The origin.
Yeah, we're calling this now. X, like, inspired a lot of shit for Ryder.
Yeah.
Like, you kinda, God damn!
You really do see it, like,
that's
a lot
why
of...
he showed up in the movie.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah, and tried to kill Fives.
Well, that
yeah.
was because it was the 40th anniversary
well,
of X.
Yeah.
Yeah, from what I've heard, though, X is a pretty popular one, right? Just because, like, he kind of, like, was the one that settled the tropes, I guess you could say.
Kind of, I think. Yeah, it was the third one in.
Like, you guys know more about this than me, but...
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, no, that was...
Episode 2 had... this show is not lacking in two things. Drive-by shootings and explosions.
Oh, God, episode 3.
Okay!
Episode 3, the episode where Mook tries to snipe a little girl.
There is literally a shot of a little girl in a hospital with a crosshair on her. Like, okay, first of all, we noticed
staring down the scope of a sniper rifle
We noticed that in every episode, at least the first three... He always gets shot by Ryoko.
Yeah,
just out of nowhere. And then she leaves.
And like, after they reveal that she's a bad guy, she starts dressing like fucking Carmen Sandiego.
No! And every time Kiriko shows up, it's like, oh, Ryoko! No, I'm Kiriko. Fuck!
I'll get it one day.
What are you doing here? I work here.
Yeah, he like shows up at the cafe
At the cafe in episode 3, he's just sitting there, he's sitting there doing his thing, waiting for the bad guys, and then she just shows up, and he's like, the hell are you doing here? I work here. She's in her uniform serving him a drink.
Yeah.
Just like, I work here.
Wonder if that's like her actual day job.
Yeah.
So, like, we see at the airport, we see like a guy, like, who turns out to be an Interpol agent, and we're all starting to think, oh, is this going to be like his... you know, non-powered ally. He kind of had that look to him, you know?
Paul kept referring him to potentially being Taki, who is a recurring character in Showa.
And then then we see Tuxedo Mask's alcoholic father walk by. Like, what the hell, man?
And then turn into a lion monster who
calls Heracles.
Heracles.
Which makes sense, actually.
Yeah.
Heracles.
Yeah, yeah. And then he proceeds to bash the Interpol cop's face in with a fucking spiked mace!
Yup.
And then put giant spiders on him, which proceed to melt him.
Like Amazon style. Ass-looking spiders
I've ever seen. They look so bad, but it was great.
I was actually like, oh, no, like tarantulas
But they got witnessed by a small girl who the thing then tried to kill
as well. Yeah, scared the fucking shit out of her. It's like, oh, you saw everything!
It really, like, goes with, like, you know, Ryder in general. They're not afraid to kill people. Yeah. And these old series, like, hell, we forgot to mention in the first episode, we see that acid foam get put to use.
Oh, yeah.
Like, melts people down to the bone.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, like, they're gonna kill this kid. You know, luckily, X manages to, haha, save the day. And we learn that, like, there's, like, an oil deal or something?
So, apparently, what the gods planned this episode was to capture a diplomat of some sort and have him... negotiate the removal of all oil from Japan.
Which, why, like, maybe like this makes sense more later down the series. We don't know. As of now,
I believe they flat out stated within the first couple episodes the organization God is made up of like the 1%ers from all around the world.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
oh,
this,
now I remember,
so yeah, this is very much a no, all for us, all for us.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. We do, again, get an exploding statue, which this time looked like the fucking Juggernaut for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, holding his sword.
No, Hercules.
I know, but no, yeah. I mean...
It was a Greek statue.
It was, but didn't his helmet look like...
Some sort of gladiator
no,
statue.
No, didn't his helmet look like the last sand version of Juggernaut?
Kinda.
Juggernaut, bitch!
A little bit.
And we see it explode.
I like the scene where Keisuke is, or X is fighting the lion monster and they decide to jump up on a bridge and throw a bunch of rocks at him.
Yeah, the rocks are like, it's those great, like, fake styrofoam rocks. You can literally see them breaking in half as
you
they're hitting them.
You actually see two of them hit.
Okay.
He's supposedly dodging them and not getting hit, but you watch two of them hit him at least.
Yeah. Okay, something I noticed, because I'm just weird like that.
I did it!
Was that, like, Jin. Okay, that's easier. Jin has this habit, you can't see it, but he has this habit of putting his hands out in front of him, like, stop, right?
Every fight.
The original Pratt Keeper.
You fuck, I was gonna say it. Yes.
I know.
He's the first Pratt Keeper. If you don't know what that is, look it up, Jurassic World. It's a lot of...
He's just standing there with his hands out, like...
But it was the thing, once I pointed it out, it wouldn't stop.
He kept doing it!
Every single time.
Especially against the dudes who had guns on him.
Oh, God, yeah.
Don't shoot!
What did you? He just like starts like. Wouldn't that be cool? Like as they're shooting him, because now he's a cyborg. He puts up his hands like Wonder Woman.
You know, what'd be funny. I like to imagine that him putting his hands up in front of a gun is secretly the origin of put your hands up. This is 74.
Who knows?
X truly did inspire everything.
What the fuck?
But yeah, later on we fight at, or X and the monsters fight at this like junkyard, and the monster actually threatens to put this mother and daughter.
Yeah, they capture them.
And
why were they captured? Because X left them the fuck alone after they tried, the mooks tried after to snipe the little girl.
There's literally, yeah, like we said, there's literally, like, the mook has a sniper rifle, for God's sake, trained on her. They pull her out of the way just in time. The fucking pillow explodes.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, all right, you guys should be fine here, I'm sure. Just stay away from a window.
So X runs off to fight them, and they immediately get captured and put into this car. And the monster threatens to put them into a giant fucking trash compactor.
What the fuck is this, casino?
Yep. Yeah.
And then they almost succeed.
They almost do. They get them out just in time. Great thing, actually, was that he pushed one of the mooks into the trash compactor.
Which, yeah.
Like, it's not graphic or anything, but it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then it shuts and crushes. And yeah. Oh, yeah, that happened.
Oh, my God. How morbid it would have been if, like, we just see a little cube come out with, like, all the, like...
lens sticking out.
Yeah, like,
just blood.
No, not even blood. Like, they play it off as a joke just where it's, like it's wearing style? The beret and, like, it's got
just
the pattern.
Like, just, like, Looney Tunes
yeah,
style.
Yeah, yeah. How great would that have
yeah.
been? So, he fights the monster, you know...
During which this all he does this awesome thing in the fight where he's like down on the ground and the monster swings his mace at him and he catches it between his feet,
which was what the fuck
was badass.
And then like the monster does this weird thing where he
throws tires at him.
He, oh yeah, actually that was the thing. He threw tires over his neck, so for a second he looked like Technic.
Yeah,
and just like there you go again, Lane.
Just for a second. I'm, like, reading a bunch of, like, episode names for X.
Oh, dear.
There is one that is called Episode 18, Scary, It's God's Cat Disguise Operation.
Oh, God. This
and
is...
another one, Scary, Humans Are Turning Into Trees.
Oh, wow. Okay, now I am watching the show.
The best part was that later episodes.
The Mysterious Thief Rhinoceros Beetle Lupin. I have to see this.
Whoa!
Okay.
Hang on. Paul!
He's asleep.
Paul! There's a Lupin monster in X.
It's a Kabuto!
Kabuto Lupin!
That's before Starfish Hitler.
Oh my God.
We're doing that for another Cast Ranger.
Fuck!
Oh my God, that's so great. Thank you, Lane.
You're welcome. thank Wikipedia.
So, like I said, Heracles does this weird thing where he like disappears for a second and tries to blend in with a car, but it doesn't work at all.
X totally spots
because
him.
X has better eyes than that and goes, fuck you and your illusion thing.
Well, just before we forget, like, he's fighting a bunch of the mooks, and then he literally turns over to a car, jumps on the hood of the car,
oh, yeah.
Just, right into the car with his weapon,
the
and the mooks just comes out.
There's this weird moment where he lands on the hood of a car, smashes the windshield, and we just see a mook go, ah, and then we never see anything about that.
Yeah.
It's just like,
he knew he was there.
Was he hiding? Was he a homeless mook? Like, what is this?
I don't know.
Who knows?
He was too busy fucking his girlfriend.
I guess.
So eventually X defeats the monster, and he goes out in the most awesome way. So he, like, falls over, and then his second lower mouth starts foaming.
Yeah, he's got two heads, by the way.
He dissolves into foam, and then the foam explodes!
I'm just like, this like reminds me of like the Lost Boys 2 because
Kamen Rider,
again,
directed by Michael Bay.
Oh yeah, I don't know for real. It reminds me of Lost Boys 2 because I'm an idiot like that. Where it's just like fucking Corey Feldman mentions vampires. They go in all different ways. Some explode, some implode, some turn to stone, some melt, but they'll all try to take you. Just remind. Is that what they're doing here?
Okay.
They all go out in different. Because literally all of them we've seen so far go out in a different way.
Okay.
Inspired Lost Boys 2, The Tribe.
Sure.
Why not?
Oh my God.
What else?
Rhinoceros Beetle Lupin, ladies and gentlemen.
Dear.
Oh dear.
You
got that.
You found a picture.
Oh, there's a picture of
everyone
this.
Look up Kabuto Lupin from Kamen Rider X.
Oh my God, it's glorious.
Let me see.
It is glorious.
How great is
it? Oh my God!
Yeah! I will defeat you, Kamen Rider X.
For real.
He's even got a twiddly little mustache.
We haven't even gotten to Starfish Hitler, and we're having this much fun.
Oh my God!
Oh, that's so great.
So that was the third episode. So we watched the first three just to get a taste of the series, like what it was. Yeah. And we did, and we got, but then we knew. We knew we had to skip ahead to the Starfish Hitler episode.
I literally went to Itchy earlier this week, and I just said, okay, find this out for me. What episode is Starfish Hitler we're doing it?
26.
Yeah.
And the name of the episode is awesome.
Yep.
The Underworld Dictator, Starfish Hitler.
Now, okay, let's talk for a second. Why is it Starfish Hitler? You said it's a pun.
It is a pun because the Japanese name for starfish is
Hitode.
Hitode. So
okay,
it's
so.
Hitode Hitora.
Ah ha ha ha.
Yeah.
All of them were apparently puns.
Ah ha ha. 6 million dead. So funny.
Yeah,
wow, that was dark.
And it's the '70s, so it wasn't even like
it was. Yeah,
that wasn't even that long after
that'd
at
be,
that point.
That'd be like making in the year 2025, like a in a fucking kid show, a villain who was two towers that kept blowing up.
Yeah, no, it's just think about this one for a second. This was like what, 1973, 1974, 1974.
That's just less than 30 years.
That's a little over 20 years. And keep in mind that after the downfall of Hitler, Japan was kind of an allied nation there. So, and they spent a number of years occupied by the states in between.
Okay. Oh, jeez. Like, the simple straight-up truth is, Starfish Hitler has gone down in like, the...
Not even in Toko history, in
internet, I want to say. He's an image where just like, hey, you know how fucked up the Japanese are? Take a look at this.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Starfish fucking Hitler.
He constantly hiles.
Oh, yeah. And all of his moves are fucking, oh god.
Gestapo.
Yeah. Oh god, his moves are dressed differently.
They've got like the face masks of normal GOD soldiers, but then they're actually dressed hat and all like Gestapos.
So anyway, the episode proper, we finally see, we haven't seen him yet, but the big villain.
King Dark.
Which looks amazing.
Yeah.
It looks like that guy on the fucking Queen album. Oh, what was it? Like, Cure the World? Or, like, what was that
one? Something like that.
I gotta look that up myself. But, like, it's like a big puppet, like a big animatronic. He always looks bored.
Like, he's got his face in his hand.
He looks like a Slay King.
He's always, like, right down on his side, lying on his side, like, head propped up in one hand.
Even while he's yelling at people.
Yeah. And it's just his mouth kind
of
opening up slowly.
Yeah.
Like,
News of the World. Oh, doesn't he look like him?
From
News of the World?
I know.
The Queen album?
Kinda, yeah. And we were introduced to another familiar face in this episode who's been in the show.
Tachibana fucking Tobe.
Tachibana.
I saw his face. Everyone's like, man, who are all these characters? Oh, that must be his uncle. He's calling him uncle. I'm like, no, that's fucking Tachibana Tobe. I know that face anywhere.
Yeah.
This guy has shown up in pretty much every Rider series in the Showa era.
Yeah.
He's a recurring face. He's always a mentor character to them.
Which I'm assuming he became this after, you know, the dad, which is just gone. I'm assuming at some point they just, like, met up and yada. So, like, the plot of this episode is that...
Which isn't even the important part.
Oh, yeah. There's these two scientists coming over from America who... What could they do?
They have some plans.
They have some sort of plans that the villain needs.
That the villains want and X needs, and they're trying to transfer things over.
They apparently keep in a bracelet, which for 74 is pretty advanced.
Yeah. So we see them. They get picked up at the airport. We also see two hippies who look like fucking John Lennon and Yoko fucking Ono.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which, I'm sure they're not important at all. So we see the scientist... in air quotations, getting driven along when suddenly, on the car, there's a starfish. The calling card!
Yeah.
And it becomes Starfish Hitler hanging off the side of the motherfucking car!
All I could think was, it was a person or a team's job for a day to hook up a Starfish Hitler costume to the side of a car. Best day ever!
Just the scene of it driving and making turns with the thing still attached was hilarious.
Wayne, you look like you got
something to say. Alright, so I found all the list of the Akunin Kaijin, which are the monsters that are based off animals and historic or fictional figures. So, Ogle Dagger, a Benjamin Ogle-themed mole monster. Salamander Gong, a Lu Gim Gong-themed salamander monster. Genghis Khan Condor...
Genghis Condor!
Genghis Condor!
the Genghis Condor!
Toad Goemon, an Ishikawa Goemon themed toad monster.
Oh!
Scorpion Geronimo.
Oh god.
Yeah, Horn Beetle Lisbon.
Oh my god! Genghis Khan!
Genghis Condor!
Oh my god, it has the beard and everything. Oh god.
Frankenbat, a Frankenstein themed bat monster created by God to defeat Khan.
Doga?
Yeah. Starfish Hitler, Spider Napoleon.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Chameleon Phantom, so he's based off Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
Leech Dracula, Lizard Viking, Ant Capone.
Alright, Ant Capone! I forgot about that!
Centipede Yokihi. A Yokihi.
Kamen Rider X. What the fuck?
Tiger Nero. And then.
Kamen Rider X is totally going. This is popular. Let's have fun with it.
Finally, Scorpion Geronimo Jr.
Oh god.
So apparently.
Oh,
okay. Geronimo
had progeny.
Next show appreciation, we have to do Kabuto Lupin and Ant Capone.
Yep.
And
Genghis
Condor.
Oh, wow.
Look
like, people, we're discovering this just as quickly as you are.
Oh,
like,
dear. So, Lane is literally looking this up while we're talking.
I wanna bring up, too, that...
Oh,
yeah,
my opinion on Starfish Hitler, that's fucking genius.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Speaking of which, Starfish Hitler was, he was voiced by Mahito Sugimura. Who, he's a lot of, like, Kamen Rider, like, monsters. He's one of those guys who just does it. But I found an interesting credit on his... He was Professor Calculus in the Tintin TV show, the Japanese dub, which Tintin's awesome. But here's the other thing that's cool. He's Winnie the Pooh in Kingdom of Hearts 2. Kingdom Hearts 2.
He dubs Winnie the Pooh in Kingdom Hearts 2.
Yep.
Starfish Hitler
is Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, bother.
Okay, so no one else can see this, but here is a picture of Ant Capone.
Everyone Google it.
I just want to say he's got Chicago written across his chest.
He's got Chicago.
Hey, that's pretty badass.
Chicago! Starfish Hitler, what have you done to us?
I need Spider Napoleon.
So, as the episode happens, we find out that these scientists they were decoys. The real scientists were the hippies. Who aren't actually hippies. They're in disguise. Stop looking shit up!
No, look at that!
Oh, yeah, we saw
it. We saw it.
That's amazing.
Oh, my God.
So Hitler tortures the fucking decoys by, like, attaching the woman to this device and, like, electrifying her, and she makes sounds like she's experiencing pleasure.
I was
really creepy.
I know. No, seriously, because it was Starfish Hitler, is it bad that I was expecting either a gas chamber or an oven for the
torture? No, we were all totally there.
Yeah, we were there
on that one. We also see the, Jin goes out to find them, and the fucking, it's like a starfish is in a tree. He's like, a starfish? A tree starfish? Like, oh, wow, man.
That's totally normal.
Weren't you supposed to be the aquatic rider? Like, what the hell?
And then it jumps on him like facehuggers.
And it's just like, I love how the actor's so clearly just holding them to his face.
Yeah, yeah.
Like something out of fucking an Ed Wood movie. But, so he goes in, and was that before or after we see the model of him? Remember when he opens the little door?
I don't remember.
Well, okay, well, like, he goes in anyway, and, like, we see that the people have been hung.
Oh, yeah.
And we're just like, whoa, okay, dark. And I'm like, wow, those are some fake-looking bodies. Wow, wait, oh, wait,
they're actually mannequins.
And then we're just like, we get a message, right, from Starfish Hitler. Or was it God at that
point? No, it was Starfish Hitler.
Starfish Hitler's like, oh, I've left you a little present. And we're like, oh, God, please do it.
The mannequins were strapped with explosives!
They exploded!
The mannequins blew up!
I can't remember if this was before or after, but basically there's a point where he's looking at a rock with a swastika on it.
Oh, yeah.
Was that before or after?
I think that was when he enters the base,
that's how he entered the base, where he's using, like, his rider powers, I guess.
He uses his rider whip.
Yeah, to hit the rock, and...
The door shimmies its way open.
It becomes a miniature. Even he's a man. It's literally a toy.
Yeah.
Of him, like,
in the grass, and they just move around.
Yeah,
the passageway with the swastika symbol on it kind of, like, shimmies its way open.
You have to see it to see what I'm talking about.
It's
funny.
It's cool.
So then, where's Hitler now?
He's underwater in a fucking submarine.
A submarine.
A Nazi submarine.
It's looking, like, through there, and... So we have to get it. So then, like, the hippies, the true scientists, are in their hotel room.
Completely unguarded.
Yeah, they get their food.
They get room service.
And what's in the food?
Oh my god, starfish. There's a fucking starfish.
Now, we were expecting that starfish to turn to Hitler. No, no.
He popped out from under the fucking table.
That was just... That's his calling card, motherfucker.
Ladies and gentlemen, Hitler is in the house.
Let's do this.
And then, like, X shows up and they start fighting, and he throws the starfish at him like shuriken.
This is just like, wow.
Just so
I mean, like, just like, who else would have thought of that, right?
Yeah. And then,
and then we get a pretty cool underwater fight, actually. You don't see that with Ryder.
Starfish Hitler versus Commander X underwater, and it's a pretty neat fight.
Yeah, at first, like, we see it's, like, just clearly a room that they filtered to look blue.
Yeah.
But then we actually see them, like, in the surf, like, from their, like, torso up.
Yeah. That was pretty nice.
And, you know, just, it's not the most impressive fight, but, you know, just it's something we don't see usually.
Nothing particularly exciting happens, but it's a fight. He finishes
Starfish
Hitler off.
Eventually, he destroys Starfish Hitler.
He goes out with a Heil.
He literally does, yes. And then he goes. And it was, and that was it. But the interesting thing was, we see that the next episode would have been a crossover.
It was the team-up episode. It basically Showa era stuff after the first series, of course, all had this one episode where the main character would team up with all the past Riders,
yes.
Or at least a handful
of. So we saw Ichigo, Nigo,
yeah,
and
V3. So yeah. All of the Riders up to that point were there.
We don't know if Rider Man was in it.
I know he was just because I saw the title of the episode. They didn't translate it, but
I saw that giant
number five.
Yeah, fair.
That tells me that said five Riders.
Yeah.
Which means all five up to that point were there.
Well, apparently there's another episode where, like, Commander X fights himself.
Oh. Huh.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the team-up episode. It's episode 27.
So that, cool. So that, ladies and gentlemen, was Kamen Rider X.
Or
at least
so far.
What we've seen.
We will revisit.
We're going to revisit this because, oh my god, this was awesome.
I had so much fun with this. It was just... You know what I like to call this? A little time capsule of crazy.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
to see what was going on back in that day and age, and just like, the production values were charming. It was so, like, well done for what it was. It was, the word I like to use is quaint, and I can't believe I'm saying that about a show that features a girl almost getting shot in the head.
And a giant starfish with a Hitler mask on.
Yeah.
And an exploding chicken.
Yes. Fuck, man.
Like, if you are into, like, old, like, weird Japanese shows, this
Can't
has to
do
be
it.
On.
Fucking
you,
do it.
Even if you're not a Rider fan, this is something I would recommend to anyone who just wants to see some crazy old shit.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I think you would really enjoy Stronger, too. We watched that earlier. The villain in that show was amazing.
Okay, I'll
in a smoking
that.
Jacket.
Oh, that's God. Great. This is
He's
just
awesome.
I just had much... I had so much more fun with this than I thought I would.
Oh, yeah.
This was like I said, this was my first show appreciation, and I appreciate it, goddammit.
Weirdly enough, I actually enjoyed the other episodes more than the Starfish Hitler episode.
Well, the Starfish Hitler, like I said, he's become infamous for a reason.
Yeah.
It's just, and don't get me wrong, when he's on screen, I never thought this was a sentence I'd say in my life, but this fucking show lit up whenever Starfish Hitler was there.
I know, right? Like a fucking Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And, but
with
yeah.
a starfish on top.
Oh. And just like, so yeah, like, I say watch this show.
Like
if you want to have fun.
Guys, trust us, this was so worth it.
Yeah.
Like,
if you can find the subtitles like I did, fucking watch it.
Anyways, that brings our episode to a close. Thank you, everyone, for listening. As always, you can find us on Facebook, Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
Yep.
Subscribe to our main site at castranger.podbean.com, where you can also subscribe to us on iTunes, and tweet at us at Ixie Studios. We love you all, and we will see you next week when we resume our regularly scheduled drive-in.
I
want
to say
episodes.
One more time, congratulations again to all the gay and lesbian couples down in the United States. It was a good day.
Yep. Bye. Bye, guys.